Blog Talk Radio.
To come before you once again, humbled by the fact that God continuously, through his grace and his mercy, gives us opportunity to speak a word on his behalf. And we are so thankful to God even now that God is allowing us to be able to speak on today. Now on with the business at hand, we have another installment, another blessing that God has given us. There's so much in the rich principles of God's word. It is filled with so much that God is speaking unto his people. And today we want to deal with one of the most important parts of what the God is saying to his people, the Lord's Prayer, praise God. And so oftentimes, even when we say that term, most people think that you're talking about Matthew 6, 9 to 13, but that is the model prayer in essence. But we're speaking the prayer that our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus prayed, that is the prayer of John, the 17th chapter. Praise God. If you have your Bibles today, and I'm going to be reading, normally the King James is our weapon of choice, but I want to read today out of the Living Bible. The reading is a little bit different here, so if you have a King James or NIV or a different version, it's going to read just a little bit different from us today. But this gives layman's understanding, praise God, of this particular prayer. The Lord's Prayer, John 17, and I want to begin reading there in verse 1. It says, when Jesus had finished saying all of these things, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, he's in prayer now. He says, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone in all of the earth, and he gives eternal life to each one you have given unto him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Christ Jesus, the one you sent to earth. He says, I brought glory to you here on earth by doing everything you told me to do. You can hear the passion now in the prayer of our Lord. He said, I brought glory to you, Father, here on earth by doing everything you told me to do. And now, verse 5, he says, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. Praise God. Verse 6, he says, I've told these men about you. He said, I told them about you. They were in the world, but then you gave them to me. Actually, they were always yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Verse 7, now they know that everything I have is a gift from you. For I have passed on to them the words you gave me, and they accepted them and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. Verse 9, my prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me. Oh, this is very important. My prayer, he says in verse 9, is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. And all of them, since they are mine, belong to you, and you have given them back to me, so they are my glory. Now, verse 11, I am departing the world. I am leaving them behind and coming to you. Holy Father, keep them and care for them. All those you have given me, so they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I have kept them safe. I guarded them so that not one was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Verse 13, and now I am coming to you. I have told them many things while I was with them so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They are not part of this world any more than I am. Make them pure and holy, verse 17, make them pure and holy by teaching them your words of truth. As you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself entirely to you. I give myself entirely to you so they might be entirely yours. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. My prayer, verse 21, for all of them is that they will be one, just as you and I are one. Father, that just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us, and the world will believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me, so that they may be one as we are. I am in them, and you are in me, all being perfected into one. Then the world will know that you sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me. Father, verse 24, I want these whom you've given me to be with me so they can see my glory. You gave me the glory because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you have sent me. Verse 26, finally, and I have revealed you to them and will keep on revealing you. I will do this so that your love for me may be in them and I in them. Praise the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing indeed to the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy eternal word. The Lord's Prayer. This truly is the prayer that our Lord prayed. Oftentimes people refer to, as I said, Matthew 6:9-13 as the Lord's Prayer, but it is truly and really indeed is the model prayer, because they asked the Lord to teach us to pray, and Jesus gave them these words as a way of reference. And so it has been widely now understood that that is the Lord's Prayer, when in reality the Lord's Prayer is the prayer of John 17. Praise the Lord. This entire chapter is Jesus' prayer. From it, we learn that the world is a tremendous battleground where the forces under Satan's power and those under God's authority are at war. Make no mistake about it. These are the opposing forces. Those who are under Satan's power and those who are under God's authority, we are at war. We're at opposition one with another in the world. Praise God. Satan and his forces are motivated by bitter hatred for Christ and his forces. Jesus prayed for his disciples, including those who are of us who follow him today, that is, all of his disciples. He prayed that God would keep his chosen believers safe from Satan's power, setting them apart and making them pure and holy, uniting them through his truth. So how do we get eternal life? Jesus tells us clearly here, by knowing God the Father himself through his Son. That is the only way. The only way given unto mankind. It says that we must come by way of the Son. No man goeth unto the Father unless he comes by way of the Son, the scriptures teach. And so Jesus here is saying, the only way they can know you, Lord God, is through me. That is Christ Jesus, your Son. Eternal life requires entering into a personal relationship with God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. In Christ Jesus. There's no other way. People say there are many ways unto God. There is but one way according to the Bible. Most people that say that don't know the Bible, the Holy Bible, the one that God left as a manuscript unto his children, that as we study, read, and understand them, we operate according to the truth, the integrity thereof. When we admit our sin and turn away from it, God's Christ's love lives in us by way of the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus came to earth, he was with God. He acknowledges that. Verse 5, he says, with the same love that we had before, the glory that we had before I got here, the Lord that he was with when God said, let us. He was speaking unto Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. And so he was communing within himself. Three manifestations of the same God, the Father, one being the Son and the other one the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Jesus was with God. And they were one. He says, at this point, when his mission on earth was almost finished, Jesus is acknowledging now that I'm coming to a close in my earthly ministry here, but with the same glory that we had before I entered here into earth, when I was one with you, Father. And so he's speaking to that fact. Jesus was asking his Father to restore him to his original place of honor and authority. Oh, glory, hallelujah. And we know that he did, indeed, was restored, because the Bible says that he went back unto glory and took his rightful place at the right hand of the glory of the Father on high, where he sits right now, glory, hallelujah, making intercessions on behalf of the saints, hallelujah. We thank God today that he's right back at his place of authority and honor at the right hand of the glory of the Father. Jesus' resurrection and ascension and Stephen's dying exclamation, Acts 7 and 56, they attest that Jesus did return to his exalted position at the right hand of God. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says, even in Stephen's death, that the Lord was sitting at the right hand of the Father in glory, and he stood up in his place of authority at the stoning, at the death of Stephen, praise God. So it attests to the fact that Jesus returned to his exalted position at the right hand of God. So what did Jesus mean when he said, they are my glory? In verse 10, God's glory is the revelation of his character and presence. His glory is the revelation of his character and presence. The lives of Jesus' disciples revealed his character, and he is present to the world through them. Praise God. Does your life reveal Jesus' character and presence? It is, he says, and now, God, I've revealed your word in them. The attesting of the fact that your word is alive and well, God, because it is being revealed in and through them. Their lives are a living example of that fact. It gives credence. It gives affirmation, confirmation to the fact that God's word is alive and well. Paul said it. He says, we are living epistles, called forth to do God's will, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is the word of God alive and well in the lives of the people of God. Jesus said, they're operating in your word because I gave it to them, and they now are your examples in the world. Praise God. Jesus was asking that the disciples be united in harmony and love as the Father. Verse 11, he was asking that they be united. That is, he says, make them one. Bring them together as unity. As you and I are one, make them one. And with the same love, he says, as we have loved, the Father has loved the Son and the Holy Spirit, as they are all united together, he says, with that same love, which is the strongest of all unions. Love is a bond. It is the strongest of all unions when you come together, not only in unity, but in love one for another. Jesus said, with that same love that we have loved, allow them to love. Praise God. Judas was the only one, verse 12. He says, all of the ones I've kept, but the one, the son of perdition, the one who was spoken of. I've kept everyone but that one. He said, but he was already spoken of. Judas was the one headed for destruction. He was he who was lost because he betrayed Christ and never sought forgiveness. This is an important fact. God gave us a clause of repentance that once we mess up, and we do have the option to mess up. There are times in which we may mess up, and we may, because God knew it. He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But because God has given us a clause called repentance, we can openly confess our sins, our faults before him. And God will forgive us of our sins, the Bible says, and he will cast them into a sea of forgetfulness, never ever to bring them up again. And once and for all, we will be forgiven for all of our wrongdoing, for all of our sins, our transgressions. But Judas never sought to come back and to ask forgiveness for the wrong that he had done concerning our Lord and Savior. It's not enough to have done the thing, but it's when we add insult to injury, he never came back and ask forgiveness for the wrong he had done, which would have restored him right back into right relationship with our Father. Praise God. Finally, joy. It is a common thing in Christ's teaching. He wants us to be joyful. In the 13th verse, the key to immeasurable joy is living in intimate contact with Christ, the source of all joy. When we do, we will experience God's special care and protection and see the victory that God brings, even when it seems defeat is certain. The world hates Christians. In verse 14, the world hates Christians' values. They hate Christian values because our values differ from the world's. Because Christ's followers don't cooperate with the world by joining in their sin, they are a living accusation. They are living accusations against the world's immorality. That's why Jesus said, it's not you that they're going to be upset and hate, it is me. It's because we carry God's spirit and the nature of God within us. And so the world hates us because we are a reminder to them of the righteousness that are missing in their lives, because we are the righteousness of God through Christ. And we are a constant reminder to the world that they're operating in immorality against the principles of God's word. The world follows Satan's agenda, and Satan is the avowed enemy of Jesus and of his people. A follower of Christ becomes pure and holy through believing and obeying the word of God. Hebrews 4:12. He or she has already accepted forgiveness through Christ's sacrificial death. Hebrews 7:26-27. But daily application of God's word has a purifying effect on our minds and hearts. I need to say that again. But daily application of God's word has a purifying effect on our minds and hearts. Scripture points out sin. It motivates us to confess. It renews our relationship with Christ and guides us back unto the right path. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. Jesus didn't ask God to take the believers out of the world, but instead to use them in the world. Because Jesus sends us into the world, we should not try to escape from the world. Hear me well, saints of God. God doesn't want to. We're not immune from problems. We're not immune from trouble. Matter of fact, he told us to the contrary. In the world, are you in the world? He says, in the world, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to. It's not an option. In the world, if you're in this world, you're going to have some tribulations, but be of good cheer. Change your mind about the things you're going through. Sometimes we think God is against us and God is trying to destroy us. He's not. He says if you're in this world, you're going to be subject to troubles. Why? Because you're going against the prince of this world. And so Satan, who's reigning far and wide now, and he's trying to do things because he is the avowed enemy against not only our Lord and Savior, but also against the people of God, those who stand, praise God, for Christ in this world. He's against us as well. And so he says, he's not wants God, the Father, to take us out of the world, but he says, I want you to use them while they're in the world. So we shouldn't try to escape from the world, nor should we avoid all relationships with non-Christians. We are called to be salt and light, Matthew 5:13-16. And we ought to do the work that God has sent us to do. Oops, there it is. We ought to do the work in spite of the things that we must suffer while he suffered through some things. And he told us that they did it unto me. And I'm the true vine, and you are the branches. You better get ready. Praise God. Because God wanted us to know that we're going to have some things that are going to happen. Just as we're going to reign with him, eventually we must first suffer. Most want to reign with God, with Christ Jesus, but we do not want to have to suffer through anything. But the reality is both are necessary. In order for us to reign, we must first suffer. And every one of us that belong to Christ, that are in the world, we have our cross that we must bear. Praise God. Jesus prayed for all who would follow him, including you and others you know. He prayed for unity. In John, 17th chapter, in that 11th verse, protection from the evil one, in the 15th verse, and he prayed for holiness, verse 17. Knowing that Jesus prayed for us should give us confidence as we work for his kingdom. Praise God. Jesus' greatest desire for his disciples was that they would become one. He wanted to unify, them to unify as a powerful witness to the reality of God's love. Are you helping to unify the body of Christ, the church? You can pray for other Christians. Avoid gossip. Build others up. Work together in humility. Oh, glory. Give your time and your money. Exalt Christ and refuse to get sidetracked, arguing over divisive matters. Finally, Jesus prayed for unity among believers based on the believers' unity with him and the Father. Christians can know unity among themselves if they are living in union with God. For example, each branch living in union with the vine is united with other branches that are doing the same. God bless you. God keep you is our prayer.
Thank you, Pastor Phil, for that inspirational word here in the studio this morning. And we are now down to a commercial break. I'm Glenda Phil, your host here on God's Anointed Ministry Radio.
Do you need marital counseling to deal with your marital issues? Do you want resources to help enhance your marriage? Log on to www.godsanointedministries.com to get in touch with Glenda and Rufus Fields. You can also check out their latest book on marriage called Diary of a Man, Heart of a Woman, as a self-help tool. Check out God's Anointed Ministries today. It's always time to pray. Prayer for our families, kids, and nation. Join Pastor Rufus and Glenda Fields of Timely Kingdom Objectives each Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time to pray. The call-in number is 1-605-475-4700, access code 126-580#.
Global Harvest Kingdom Church, a global outreach church fulfilling the mandate of God to equip, empower, edify, encourage, and educate the people of God in this season. Global Harvest Kingdom Church, join us every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Global Harvest Kingdom Church, a church on the move for God.
And welcome back to Real Talk here on Gospel Morning Ministries Radio. I'm Glenda Fields, your host. And we are down to the last 3 minutes of this segment. And I'm joined here in the studio with Pastor Rufus Fields of Global Harvest Kingdom Church, Timely Kingdom Objectives, and God's Anointed Ministries, discussing the Word of God through a biblical teaching Pastor Fields is doing called the Lord's Prayer. And Pastor Fields, we had Bishop Smith, who's calling from the UK. He's in the chat. He said he's listening in because his system won't let him actually speak out. Because of international lines or something he was stating in the chat room. But he says, thank you for verifying in this time and in this season to the body of Christ that the model prayer indeed is not the actual Lord's Prayer. He said he's never heard it before because so many leaders are teaching that as the Lord's Prayer. So he said, thank you for that kingdom revelation. And then he says he's praying for your ministry that God will send you to the vast ends of the world. And we want to thank Bishop Smith for those encouraging words here this morning in the studio. And we're going to give Pastor Fields the last couple of minutes to close the segment out with encouraging words or prayer.
Amen. Praise God. And certainly we just want to say unto Bishop Smith, we certainly thank God for you, man of God, and we pray for you and your ministry, that God may use you powerfully, man of God, in the times in which we live, because we are indeed in the last days, and we pray that God will increase his power in you all the more, as well as all of the ministry giftings that God has called into the world for such a time as this. Lord, we thank you today for every work, Father, for every word that you have continued to speak into our hearing. We thank you, Father, for this powerful prayer that you prayed that is even now in effect. For you said you're praying not only for those, Father, but you are praying for those that will come into the kingdom, God, those who will be saved. And we thank you right now that you are saving men all over the world. And we pray for ministry giftings that we may continue, oh God, to lift up that powerful word. For you said if you be lifted, you would draw all men unto yourself. So as we continue to lift up the name of Jesus, we pray that you would break out, Father, to the north, south, east, and west, causing men, Father, their hearts, Father, to be your hands, and may you draw them closer unto you as we continue, Father, so that our lights so shine before them that they may see our good works. We give you the glory which are in heaven. It's in the name of Christ Jesus we pray and give you glory, honor, even now. Amen. And thank God.
Thank you for tuning in to the Real Talk segment, and you can contact Pastor Phil via his website, and they are www.godsanointedministries.com. and www.ghkc1.org. For upcoming show information, you can email him at gam@godsanointedministries.com, as well as give him feedback regarding the show segments that you are currently listening to or show ideas. In this time and in this season, you can also avail yourself to monetary donations, and you can do that via his website and various ministries to assist the man of God or sponsor him for radio and television segments, as well as assist with anything that the man of God is doing with the international church in this time and in this season. And those websites, once again, are www.godsanointedministries.com and www.ghkc1.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Real Talk segment. I'm Glenda Fields, your host, here on God's Anointed Ministries Radio.
Like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of oath. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today.